We left off with the Mishnah yesterday, the Banav Chaf from the Bet, and the Mishnah was discussing what rights neighbors have in terms of objecting to what's done in their chatzer. So the Gemara is going to deal with this. What we left off with was that the Mishnah seemed to indicate that one may not open up a store inside of their chatzer because people, there would be heavy foot traffic coming in, whereas they're allowed to have children come in and out. So Gemara wants to know, Mishnah Reisha, Mishnah Seifa. Why in the Reisha does the neighbor have the right to object to him opening a store because of the foot traffic, yet in the Seifa he allows these children to come in and out? Why is that? Zamar Abai Seifa Atan L'Chatzer Acheret. Right, that has to do with someone else's or another chatzer. What does that mean? That means that if your chatzer, if he opens up the store in your chatzer, then you can object to the foot traffic coming in. Whereas if it's opened up in a chatzer nearby or next door, then you can't object because there is no foot traffic in your chatzer. Number two is, what are you objecting about? The noise. That he has a right to do. The noise or the disturbances that come from him opening it up in the other chatzer, that you do not have a right to stop. Say, write it explicitly. Meaning that if you're talking about another chatzer, if the whole Mishnah is talking about your chatzer and then you switch over to the other chatzer, that should have been more explicit in the Mishnah. Ela Amar Rava, Seifa Atan L'Tikanoko Shel Beit Rabban, that the Seifa has to do with opening up a Cheder Beit Sefer Yisodi, right? It's the schooling that is happening in the Chatzer. Umi Takanat Yoshua Ben Gamla Velech. And this has to do, which we're going to get a little lesson in history over here about Jewish education, but it has to do from the time of the Takana of Yeshua ben Gamla Velech. Now, Yeshua ben Gamla is an interesting character. Yeshua ben Gamla was a Kohen Gadol, right, in the time of Bayit Sheni. Yeshua ben Gamla, according to the Gemara, was married to, in the Gemara in Yevamo, the Gemara in Yomo, was married to Marta ben Bat Baitus. Now, Marta Bat Baitus went ahead and bribed Yanai HaMelech, who was the king of the time, one of the Hashmonaiah kings, to allow Yeshua ben Gamla to be the Kohen Gadol. And Gemara Bava says that after they were Nitkadesh, after they did Kiddushin, she went ahead and bribed the Yanai HaMelech to make him into Kohen Gadol, and she was Nasui to him when he was a Kohen Gadol. They had Kiddushin when he was a Kohen Ejot, and they had Nisuin when he was a Kohen Gadol. So Yeshua ben Gamla, right, seems to be of questionable character here, that his wife is bribing Yanai HaMelech for him to be the Kohen Gadol. So Tosfos tries to reconcile and say, no, Yeshua ben Gamla is a tzaddik. We're going to see in the Gemara here, it sounds like he's a good person. It's just that there were other people more ra'uy than him to be the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, that was the whole incident of the bribery. But not that in terms of character, in terms of him being a good person, he wasn't a good person. So Tosfos tries to walk a fine line because, again, in the other places, the Gemara references Yeshua ben Gamla in the context of Marta bat Baitus and his and her and their children also, where the Gemara speaks about their children.
The Gemara specifies the four Torah Yishlatov.
Right now, right, here it's very positive. The Gemara is clearly very positive. Dar Yudam Rav, Baram Zachor Oto Yishlatov. You have to remember this person in a positive light, Yeshua ben Gamla Shmo, Shil Molehu Nishtakach Torah Misro. Because if it wasn't for him, there would be no Torah in Yisrael. Shebetchila, in the beginning, Misha Yisrael Av Milamdo Torah. So whoever had a father, his father would teach him Torah. The obligation of Chinuch devolves upon the father to the child. Misha Ein Lo Av, person who didn't have a father, Lo Haya Lamed Torah. He didn't have the ability to learn Torah. So my Darosh. So then, what did he do? What was his drasha that said? It says, V'Madatem Otam. Right. So say every day with regards to Limud Torah, V'Lamadatem Otam. Right, so then it says biyumaritem hidarshins biyumaritem atem. Right, so not that otam, but rather atem. Atem meaning in the plural. The obligation is not simply on the individual father, but rather on the community as a whole to ensure that the children are educated. There's some Tosfos points out. There's some Gemaras don't have the girsa biyumaritem atem, but rather biyumaritem means that just without the atem. Limad atem means, right, that you should mi'atzmechem, that you have to make sure, ensure that everyone is taught. All right. Hitkinu, shiyu moshivim alamdei tinokot b'Yerushalayim. That they set up, that they have a school system in Yerushalayim. So why? My darush. What was the drasha that they should do it at Yerushalayim? Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. Right, from Tzion, there will come out Torah, from the center of Dusha, where the Mikdash is, that's where the Torah will come out. So unbelievable Tosfos over here. Could I read it? Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. Why is it? Why did he set up the schools in Yerushalayim? Ki lefi Shaya Roe Kedusha Gudola. A child who came up to Yerushalayim to learn saw the tremendous Kedusha. Kohanim oskim ba'avodah, and they see the Kohanim doing the avodah in the Mikdash. Hayim mechaven libo yoter liyirat shemayim lelmod Torah. Being in a place of Kedusha, seeing the Kohanim working in the Mikdash, right, had an impact on the child that's there, and that spurred him on to, right, have greater yirat shemayim and to learn better. And the environment has a large impact on the child. And here Tosfos points out that an environment of Kedusha, an environment where there are people of Kedusha, has a positive influence, a positive impact on the child. And therefore, they set up the schools, or the system inside of Yerushalayim. But the problem still was, right, that whoever had a father would bring him up to Yerushalayim, to the school system, and then he would be taught. Just comment, it's interesting here, it should be, we'll see the reflective sand, and I'll make a comment here. Mishen lo'av, who didn't have a father, that whoever didn't have a father didn't go up and learn. Which is interesting. If you had read the first part, if you had parallel structure here, it should be say, adayin mishyesh lo'av, ayyam alo, right, v'lomeid. Right, whereas it's mishen lo'av, lo yaloe, v'lomeid. Instead, what does it say? It says, Mishesh lo av hayamalo umlamdo. He would go up there and teach them. So I don't know how, there could be two possibilities about that, which is that he took him up to Yerushalayim and he would teach him, means that the father would remain there with the Mlamde Tinokot, although it seems less likely to me. The more likely scenario is that the obligation on the father to teach the child, right, he is now using, having a shliach do that on his behalf, which is that the Mechanech, the Mlamed Tinokot, is stepping into his place. But the obligation is still Umlamdo, that his father is teaching him Torah. He's discharging that obligation by bringing him to Yerushalayim into the school. So that's what he's teaching him. It's still classified or considered as if he's teaching him Torah. It's a Shituf Pula, right? It's a partnership between the father and the teacher. Right, so now, the problem was that someone didn't have a father, couldn't come up to Yerushalayim, wouldn't get to Yerushalayim. So we tkinu, shem oshivim, b'chol pelach, u'pelach, that they established that they would set up schools in every, we'll call it metropolis, right, large areas, u'machnisin otan, k'ven tetzayin u'ven yudzayin. They used to set up these yeshivot in large metropolises, and then kids who were 16 or 17 years old, they used to come over there to learn. U'mi shaya robo ko'eselav, that when his Rebbe got angry at him or upset at him because, I don't know if he didn't follow the rules, he wasn't picking up, he wasn't learning properly, then mav'it bo v'yotze, right, then he would rebel and leave. I mean, that you can't all of a sudden impose discipline on a child who's 16 to 17 years old, right, that's not the time to start trying to impose discipline and have a child to start learning. So then, what happens? So then, Achabar Yeshua ben Gamla v'tikein. This was the establishment or the beginning of what we call maybe the day school system, right? A education system, a system of elementary school, really. Right, it's public school education, but elementary education. Which is v'tikein shi'u moshivim mlamdei tinokot b'chol medina u'medina u'b'chol ir v'ir. They established that they would put up schools in every location, in every city. They started learning now instead of 16, 17, learning at 6 or 7. Right? The Gemara in other places, by Erech and Sukkah, deals with Ben Shesh or Ben Sheva, is that if he's strong, then we do it Ben Shesh. He's not so strong, then Ben Sheva is the right time to start. What about the Mishnah Avot, Ben Chamesh, Lemikra? So Tosfos wants to say that there are three categories. There's super strong, Ben Chamesh. Strong, Ben Shesh. Little weak, Ben Sheva. But the recognition that not all children are alike, especially at that young age, there are differences that are wide enough that, right, education can't all be uniform in terms of starting children out. But at least, Shit and Sheva, now they bring them in for this elementary school education, this Cheder education, but it's not only that they start at 6 and 7, but they also have it local. Now, you don't have it in a metropolis, you don't have it up in Yerushalayim, but every city would have its own system or a system of educators that the children can go to, and therefore even if a child did not have a father, he was able to access the school system.
It's obvious though this whole story is by shame. Right. The midrashim about like Hizkiyahu, that, you know, you had even the children with taros and things like that, that's
right.
There was a deterioration.
Right, I mean, they still learned. They could have learned in central locations, but as we saw before, there were stages here where they went through that they learned. Doesn't mean that they were only learned by their fathers, and it depends on what age. Right? We don't know. Right, also makes a difference. Amar le Rav, the Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, So Rav said to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, if you remember, we saw Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat earlier in the Gemara, right? The Gemara on Daf Chet Amud Bet, we saw Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat when the Gemara was talking about characters. And there it says that, you know, who are the people are Ben Olam Abba? So there the Gemara says, Gabay Tztaka and Melamdei Tinokot. And there the Gemara says, what type of Melamdei Tinokot we're talking about? We're talking about a person like Rab says over there. Who's that like? Rab Shmuel Bar Shilat. Because he's the one who was a superb educator. Oh, right. So he was doing Mitayel in the garden. Rab says, what are you doing? You left your charges behind. You left the kids behind. He says, I haven't forgotten about them for 16 years. I haven't come to this garden. I mean that he hasn't left his thoughts behind about the children. But he was a superb educator. But Rab saying to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, this educator, Adshit lo takbil mikam vilei chabil ba'asvilei keturah. Until 6 year old, the children are not capable of accepting the authority of the educator. Plus, they're not in the position where they can start to collect information and keep the information that they're being taught. Mikam vilech, from that point forward, kabil, they're able to accept the authority and their understanding starts to open up. Asvilei keturah, and that's the point you should start stuffing them like an ox, meaning that you should push them to remember. Right? That's part of the. The systems that have come back today about the Barkai and the systems which say that a child is capable at those ages already to push a little harder and to learn a lot more at those ages. Amalei Rav, the Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, other advice that Rav gave to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, Ki machit liyunoka, when you hit a child that you were educated, lo timche elo ba'arkada besano, should only hit him with the shules. So this is very, again, another important educational tool, right? The Gemara says in other places that when you chastise a child, right, that you should be marchikim b'smol, mekarva lo b'yomin, and that when you have to give tochacha or musar to a child, it has to be done in a very careful methodology or manner, which is that if you're going to hit him with a shulei, something light, something that's not so hard. Why? Dikari kari. If he's going to listen, then he'll listen anyway. Meaning that he doesn't need to be whacked to listen. He can, a little shulei's hit, he'll listen. Udalokari, if he doesn't listen, meaning, but at least the shulei's will bring him back into line, the havitzav to the chavre. And he'll still remain amongst the friends or the kids that are there. And over time, right, then the child will be affected by his peers who are learning. And after a while, he'll make an effort to listen and to be educated. The problem is, right, if you throw him out, right, or if you hit him too hard, then you're ready. If he was going to listen anyway, you didn't need to do that. If he isn't going to listen, and now he's going to leave, right, then you've lost him altogether. So the idea is that in order to educate or direct the child, it's okay to chastise them, to help them or direct them, the darbenotam, right, in the right direction, but to totally, right, disconnect from them or throw them out, right, that leaves the child with nothing, right? There's no way to get them back. There's no chance that they'll ever get back. So you have to be careful in terms of, he says to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, here's Rav giving advice to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, right, that this, when you're educating, remember these important principles. Meitve, echad mibnei achatzer, shebikesh lasot rufe uman vegardi umlamdei tinokot, b'nei mechatzer ma'akvin alav. So here, if you read, again, the brace is a little unclear here, but it says, echad mibnei achatzer, someone in a chatzer that wants to open up a business inside the chatzer. So now what does he want to do? He wants to be either rufe, right, a doctor, an uman. Now, the way the Mishnah, or this, I'm sorry, the Braisa reads, it should really say, it should be Rofe Uman, because there's no Vav here, whereas all the others are a list of Vavs. But the way Rashi interprets it, he says that it's two separate issues. One's a Rofe Mohel, is a person who gives circumcision. Uman is a Mekiz Dam, someone who is a bloodletter, right, who is the Rofe of their day, the real doctor of their day. Gardi is a weaver, and Malamed Tinokot is a educator. So Bnei Bechazir Magvinolav, they can stop him. This goes against Rava's interpretation of what Tinokot are in our Mishnah. Rava just said Tinokot in our Mishnah is that you're allowed to educate in the Chatzir without any objection from anyone else. Here we have an explicit brisa. It says the Bnei Chatzir can be Magvinolav. So it says, Ach Maiskino mi Tinokot Dakum. Talking about non-Jewish children, meaning this is the education, but education not of Torah necessarily, but education of non-Jewish children. So there, they can be makvin alav. Tashma, shnayim shiyoshvim b'chatzer, ubikhesh echad mehem lasot rofe ve'uman v'gardi umlamei tinokot, chavero me'akev alav. So here's a case where person, again, they live in a, two people live in a chatzer, and one of them wants to all of a sudden become a mohel, a bloodletter, a weaver, lamei tinokot, chaver makavilov. Where it says again, achanami, betinokot, da'akum. Type about non-Jewish education. So there, he doesn't have the takana of Yeshua ben Gamlo supporting them, which says that you're not allowed to be ma'akev anymore. So Mar says, Tashma. Mishiyesh lo bait b'chatzer shutvim. Harizel lo yiskirenu. Person who has a house inside of a joint chatzer, should not rent it out. Lo l'rofe, v'lo l'uman, v'lo l'gadi, v'lo l'sofer Yehudi, v'lo l'sofer Ermai. So now you ran out of solutions here, because our solution until this point was to say, right, what is the answer when it comes to education? Education over here, we'd say there's a difference between Jewish education and non-Jewish education. Jewish education is subject to the takana of Yeshua ben Gamlo, and therefore you can't refuse to have the children be educated in the chatzer. Because non-Jewish education is not subject to the takana. It's part of maybe of the takanon, right? The rules of the city, or part of the city's obligation towards the children of the city. But then they can't demand that you open up your chatzer to this type of schooling. But now we have a problem, because now the price says not to a sofer Yehudai, and not to a sofer Aramai. So there, that would sound like a Jewish, right, educator and a non-Jewish, or an educator of no non-Jews. Where it says, then now how do you explain this, that you can't have a Jewish educator inside the chatzer that goes against Rava? Where it says, talking about, so this is very interesting, obviously Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos actually later on, but Rashi says over here, Besofer Mato, that it's a principal, that he is the principal of the school. So Sofer Mato is a principal who oversees others. So maybe that's one thing if you open up a class or grade in the, you open up a class inside the chatzer, that you're allowed to do, because that's part of Takanas Yeshua ben Gamlo. But open up a school inside the chatzer where you are a principal, and then you're overseeing men Jew educators that are coming in, that you cannot impose on the Bnei HaChatzer. That's just too much to impose on the Bnei HaChatzer. So again, the Takana of Yeshua ben Gamlo entitles you to open up a class, but not to open up a school. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosfos says no, that the Gemara's answer is that Sofer Mato, what's a Sofer Mato? That is literally a Sofer. I mean, that he is the Sofer, but not a Sofer, right, like we know here, like Alan, but a Sofer, which is someone who documents, like a stenographer, someone who documents and does all the documentation for the city. Because again, the people weren't all literate there or able to write in that time. So people, you'd go to the Sofer when they needed to have a contract written up. They used to have, right, the town clerk, something to that effect. Sofer Matas, so there's nothing, right, nothing to do with education whatsoever. That's the way Tosfos will learn it. So Amar Rava, mitakanat Yeshua ben Gamlo veilech, lo mamtinan yinoka mimato lamato. So very interesting, no busing. Right, when it comes to education, once the Yeshua, the Takana of Yeshua ben Gamlo, we don't bus children from city to city. Every child must be given the opportunity to learn locally. Alright, from one shul to another, that's okay. I mean, we're not gonna say that he has to be educated in the closest shul to his house, closest place to his house. No, that they could go from place to place within the city, that's fine. V'mafsik naro lo mimatinan. If there's a river in between where he lives and where the shul is, then we don't bring them over there. V'ika titura, if there's a secure big bridge, then mematinan he can go. V'ika gamla, if there's a narrow plank that goes across the river or something that's not so safe necessarily, lo mematinan, we don't force them to go. So this is interesting. Why is this? What's the reason behind it? Rashi says, shelo yuzak bedrachim, that they shouldn't get hurt, or certain bad things should not happen to them when they're traveling, because the satan is katreig mischata sakana. The satan is always looking out for times when there is weakness or sakana for the individual, like we say by the time that Yaakov sends the brothers back with Binyamin, right? He's afraid because the satan's mekateg bederech, the sakana comes when things are, right, when you're exposed. So he's afraid to send Binyamin back with the brothers down to Mitzrayim. So over here, we don't want to impose on parents to send their children in two places where their child will pass through a certain level of sakana. So therefore, we insist that when you set up schools locally, that the child is able to get there without being exposed to danger. Rama Rava, so this is very, very, very interesting, should have nachminot alachot. Sach makre de dardake esrim v'chamisha yinoke. The maximum number of children that an educator or teacher can have in a classroom is 25. 25 is the number of children that you can educate. Beyond 25, you cannot. If you have 50 children, then you got to split the class into two. So the obvious question is, what happens between 25 and 50? V'ika arba'in, if there are 40 children, mukmina and resh duchna. It's very important that you have to establish a resh duchna. This resh duchna over here is a mimune tachtav. It's a teacher's assistant. Right? That they have to have assistants in the classroom. You cannot, beyond 25 children, a single teacher cannot educate. You must have teacher's assistants, right, in the classrooms from that point until you reach 50. If you reach 50, you gotta split the class. Alright, so that, right, obviously, the Israeli school system is working towards this. It's getting, right, closer and closer. But that you can't have more. It's really true. It's very difficult for educators to educate in a class when there are 30, 35 children in the class without help. They need assistance in the classroom. Meaning that the teacher can teach, but then the assistant can go around and help the individual children, ensure that oversee individual children. All right, I heard that in the second grade, right?
They just third class.
They did split it up, Baruch Hashem. So they split it up, very nice. It's, but yeah, it's 25 is a maximum over here.
Is that a special reason why it says only 40 and if like
30? Yeah, I'm saying, I think it's extreme. You know, that they probably should have said 49. I mean, if you have to wait till 50, right? I mean, 30 is close, but we already have 40. It's like a huge number that's away from 25. So how do you deal with the 40? I mean, I think it's an example, not specific about 40. Now, what? Oh, yeah. The pay, right, so that's very good. That the pay means that the system now is that the city is obligated to provide teachers, right? Once you have a bunch of children in the classroom, you have to provide a teacher. If you have more than 25, then the obligation falls upon the city now to provide and pay for a teacher's assistant. I mean, the teacher's assistant is not the obligation of the parents, it's the city. I mean, the Misrad HaChinuch, once it gets beyond 25, should have to provide, right, not only a teacher in the classroom, but a teacher's assistant in the classroom. Right, so that's it's an important fact. And Tosfos says something, which is important. Tosfos says that the 25 that we're mentioning here is a minimum. That the minimum amount of children that you have that requires the ear to set up a classroom is 25. So 25 is going to work in both directions, right? Which is that not only is it the maximum number of kids in a class that can be educated by one teacher, it's the minimum amount where the parents can come to a city and say you're obligated to provide a classroom or provide a class for our children because there are a minimum of 25 kids. So Tosa reads it both ways. That 25 is the minimum, meaning that a teacher educates with 25, that's enough to force the city to hire a teacher. Right? Below that, then you can't force the city to hire the teacher, but it's also the maximum that one teacher can get. So it's a very, according to Tosos, it's a very narrow band, this 25. Meaning that below 25, you're not going to hire a teacher. Above 25, you already have to hire an assistant. So it's a narrow band in which you're working, according to the Tosfot. But you could understand that in this context of what we said in the Gemara here, that the obligation to divide the classes when you have 25, I mean, the parents can insist, when there are 25 kids, we need a new class. I mean, that's what the parents can insist here. All right, now, the Gemara says, V'amarava, hi, makre yonuke, yonuke, the goris, v'ika achrina the goris tve mine. Right, so if there is a educator here, and there's another educator in town who is better than he is, lo misalkinen le, we do not remove this one. We don't bring in, even though there's a better teacher here, we don't remove the original teacher. Why? Dilma ate le rishule. The problem is that we're afraid that he'll become lazy. That the new educator, the guy who is the hotshot teacher that's coming in here, what are we afraid? We're afraid that he got the new job now. And then once he gets a new job, he's not going to be such a hotshot anymore. He'll get lazy. He thinks, look, I got the job now. I don't need to worry about teaching so well anymore. I'll take it easy. So Rav Dimi Meir Daramar, Koshikin the Goris Tvei, what are you talking about? It says the opposite. If you just dismissed another teacher to put this teacher in place, this person's going to be on his feet all the time. Why? He knows that the other educator is out there waiting to get the spot back again. If he's going to get the spot back again, he's going to make sure that he doesn't have a chance of getting back in. He's got to educate in a manner or to a standard that won't let someone else to come and take his job. If he knows that anybody who doesn't do a good job is exposed, right, then he's going to make a better effort. Why? Kinat sofrim terbech chuma, right? That the jealousy between educators and those that are learning, right? That increases chokhmah. That, right, is here in this sense. It's in the teaching side, meaning that the children will benefit from the, in a sense, kinat sofrim will benefit from the fact that there is competition among the teachers that will bring to better education for the children, because each one's going to try harder and harder to do a better job. We're going to say it's also the other way around, that kinat sofrim terbech chachma, that jealousy between the competing partners makes them better and makes them want to learn more and have more. So this is, by the way, just that the crop reference, Kina Tzofrim Tarbech Chachma, it's mentioned here, we're going to see it again, Chavbet Amad Aleph, this is the places in Chas, this is where it's mentioned. That concept that people mention all the time is from here, the Gemara here in the Baba Basra. Rama Rava, Hai Trey, Makre Dedicate, Chud Garis Velo Daik. One of them was an excellent, he's good, he knows a lot of stuff, he's an educator, but he's not particular. He doesn't ensure that the children get everything exactly. One of them is very careful that the children get exactly what they're supposed to get and get it right. But he's not as well versed or doesn't have as expansive a knowledge base as the other teacher. Right? Because so Rava's suggestion here again, these are we're going through advice to educators. We had Rav's advice to educators. Now we're up to Rava's advice in terms of education. This statement of Rava is that what? Better to put it in someone who knows a lot than someone who is Mendayek. Why? Because mistakes go away by themselves. That's what Rava's position is. Rav Dimi Mer Damar, this is probably the more common things that we hear, that's because it's halachically, right, this is the case. Motzvina tadaik velo garis. No, you should make sure that you put someone to make sure there is no mistakes, rather than the one who has a greater knowledge base. Why? Because Shabishta came into al. A child that learns something the wrong way, forever will stick with them. And we know that children are very, very, alright, influenced by that which they hear, but not influenced in the sense that it remains with them for a lifetime. That Girsa Diyanoka is with a child for a lifetime. Even people who, many years later, if they've learned something when they're a child, they will always remember that. If you memorize things when you're a child, those things stick with you for a lifetime. So the problem is, if you make a mistake and teach them wrong, then that will stick with them for a lifetime. They're very impressionable, and that you got to do it right when you're doing it when they're children. Dichtiv. Ki sheshet chodeshim yashav sham Moav v'chol Yisrael adhitchi kol zachar be'edom. So this is in the time of David. Yoav is out doing battle with Edom. At that time, they sat there for 6 months until they cleared out all the males from Edom. Ki atel kamei to David. When he came back, Yoav comes back to David. Amalei, he says, David says to him, right, again, remember that Yoav is David's sar tzavai, his general and his nephew. He says, my time of adhochi, what did you do that for? Why are you up there killing all the male children now? So Amalei, dechtiv, timche. What? All right. Well, that's exactly what I say. Amalek tichtiv timche et zchar Amalek. You should wipe out the males of Amalek. We remember not the males, but rather the memory of Amalek. So Amalek ana zchar akirion. When I learned it as a child, I learned it as zchar, that it was the males. Azel Shaila the Rabbi. So he went back to his kindergarten, his first grade teacher, and he says, Amalei, hey, Echa Kriten, how did you read it? So Amalei, he said, so now this is a machlok, is how to read this. Either he said to Amalei Zechar, that he read it the wrong way, but the better way to learn it is Amalei Zechar, that the Rebbe taught it properly. He taught it Zechar, but it was not Medayek to make sure that Yoav, who was repeating it and learning it, that learned it correctly. I mean, the teacher taught it correctly, but he didn't ensure that the children knew what he was teaching. They didn't ensure that they did it right. So Shakla Safsira, he took a sword, the Mikdalei, to kill him, because he didn't taught him right. Amalei, am I? He says, why are you going to kill me? So Amalei, Dichtiv, Arur, Osem, Lechat Hashem, Rimiya. Right? Cursed is the one who makes Avodat Hashem, makes education in Torah into a deceit. So over here, this was deceitful, is it correct that you didn't teach it right? And the obligation is on the teacher to ensure that not only that he teaches it correctly, but that the child knows it correctly. I mean that when the child is reviewing it and going over it, that again, this is part of what, you know, having too many kids in the classroom, right? The issue is that the teacher can't follow up. Ensure that when Yoav is reading over, when he's doing the girsum, when they're doing the shinun, that he doesn't say zechar, but he says zecher, that he gets it right. That how does the teacher know?
You realize the problem with this quotation.
Which is
a chronological difficulty.
Which is
that it isn't safer in Yirmiyahu, which.
Alright, obviously, alright, that's not the Gemara does this all the time, that's not the, I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, this is common grounds for the Gemara will quote Psukim from, you know, but it's an expression. I mean, that the Gemara is saying that this expression, right, was what was on mind, what he's explaining. He was not quoting he's not quoting a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. He's quoting, right, a concept, which is that, that person who makes Mechaz Hashem Yirmiyahu should be cursed. I mean, that concept could have existed even before the time of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu made documents through Nevuah, that pasuk. So, Amalei, Shavkei, The Ha'ugavra, the Likum, Be'aror, says, leave him alone. They said to Yoav, or David, I don't know if the people around him or these educators says to Yoav, you know, leave him alone. The Arur is enough. I mean, you don't have to kill him. He already has an Arur here. So I'm like, Tiv, Arur, Moneach, Arbo, Midam. It's the same. It's the same pasuk. It's the end of that pasuk. That it's the one who withholds his sword from killing should be cursed. I mean that there is a time when you have to eliminate people who have done wrong or people who have killed, and the one who doesn't take care of that will be cursed. So how can I withhold the sword here? There's somebody who did something wrong. I have to kill them, right? Which is what David says and Shlomo later on about Yoav that. It's enough of the bloodshedding, right? That Yoav, it's enough of the killing all those people, because Yoav had killed Avner, he killed, right? Later on, he kills Avshalom, right? He's always doing things that David doesn't necessarily agree with him. So, Ikadamre, Katle, some say that he went ahead and killed him. Ikadamre, look at me. Some people say he didn't kill him. All right, so either way, they ended up the story, but he killed him or not. It's interesting over here that the pasuk quoted by the Gemara is that they were fighting with Edom. Right, so now, Amalek is a subset of Edom, meaning that he's a part of Edom, but Edom as a whole doesn't have a din of Amalek. So it's interesting over here that the Gemara quotes this idea of Edom and then mentions about Timche, Zecher, Amalek. Just mention it as an aside. All right, now, Bama Rava, so now more advice from Rava. Makra Yinoka, right? Shatla, Tavcha, Vumna, Vesofer Mata, Kulan, Kumatorim, Vumdim, Ninhu. So we saw this, the Gemara in Baba Metzia, this is the last parak in Baba Metzia that we saw together, that there are certain types of professions that these professions, you don't get a warning. If you make a mistake in this profession, you're out. Why? Because the mistake is so great or it has such impact that we say there is no room for mistakes allowed. And that when you get put into such a position, you have to even do yuck to do this and do it correctly. So now, what are these people? So Amar Rava Makre Yonoka. Those are educators that against what Rava said before. Rava said before that if you have a choice between Meduyak and Garse, you put in Garse because the Shibush, right, goes away. And over here, he's saying, oh, no problem. You can put in a Makre Darake. So it's interesting. Ashi says the mistake over here is that what if you make a mistake educating, then you're not going to be able to go back on it. It's from the Rashi. We saw this actually in the Gemara Bavitzi, the Machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that it's a mistake. If a mistake goes in, it doesn't go out. That's against Rava's position on the previous Amud. Rava said before that we opt for the better educator than the one who's meduyak, the one who makes the two shitot. One is that an educator, better educator versus a mistake versus, right, one who is meduyak versus better educator. We go with according to Rava, you go with the better educator, even though he's not meduyak. Because what's Rava's position? Shabishta, memela nafka. Mistakes go away. So how can over here you can say Rava come along and say that a makriyonuka, if he makes a mistake, it's, stuck. So that's the way Rashi learns. So Rashi learns it because of mistakes. Tosus rejects Rashi's pshat because of that. It's a steer in Rava otherwise. So what does Tosus say? It's a great Tosus Gemara, but Matsinye quotes it over here again. The read. That the problem is not that the mistake will go away according to Rava. What's the mistake? Bitzel Torah. That while you could have been teaching him something right, you taught him something wrong. You were mevatel the child from Torah by teaching him incorrectly or incorrect information at a time that you could have been teaching him correct information. It's an unbelievable thing. That every moment of learning with a child is so precious that when you teach them something wrong, you'd be mevatel them from Torah. And so therefore, over here, that's why we dismiss such a makre yinoka. Shatla, over here we have someone who is a plant, right? A person who plants for money, meaning that he's a gardener, but a gardener in the sense that he plants and then they share in the output of the field. So when it says, why is that irreversible? I mean, a shatla, why is that irreversible? He can pay you for the mistake that he made if he did a bad job. When it says, no, because it affects the quality of the tree, and therefore there'll be implications for many years, the production of such a tree. Even though you can pay him a little bit, you can't in the end pay him for the diminished quality and all the things that will happen in the future. Tavcho, it's obvious, right? They butcher. V'umna, right? Obviously this is a person who's bloodletting because the guy's dead. There's nothing to talk about, right? V'sofer mata. Uh-oh. And a sofer. Imagine that. The sofer makes a mistake. Right? Out. So Mara said, why is the sofer mata out? So Rashi, what is the sofer mata here? Rashi over here says he's a lavlar. And he's a sofer. He's a writer. So now, So he, Rashi says over here, what's the problem over here? Because kulam mutran v'omdim ninu is because he writes a sefer Torah. If he makes a mistake in a sefer Torah, then you have a possible sefer Torah that people are using. So you can't leave around a sofer that makes mistakes and leaves the mistakes or doesn't check over his work. So that's what Rashi says. Tosfos says he doesn't think that's the, right, that is the explanation of the word sofer mat over here. Right, but he says, because you can always fix a sefer Torah. Sefer Torah that has a mistake in it, it can always be fixed later on. But he says that a sofer here is a sofer mata. Sofer mata, again, goes back to what Tosfos explained before, the sofer. The sofer is the, you know, stenographer, the clerk of the city who documents contracts between people. Now, if you make a mistake there, that is irreversible because you don't have witnesses anyway. The people witness, they have a contract that's signed. That's the only document of proof that what happened. Now, if there's a mistake in there, the proof is wrong. The terms of what was done or agreed to between the parties is not documented properly. Now the other party will come along and say, no, you can't do this, it's not here. So Tosfos learns that the sofer over here is the sofer mata, like he did before, that he's a kotev shtarot. All right, so now again, we have different words or different interpretations of what the word sofer means. We have Tosfos who says the sofer is the clerk of the city clerk. The Rashi who says a sofer is literally a sofer, right, who writes Sifrei Torah. And actually, if you remember back in the Gemara Bava Metzia, there was a third opinion of the Rach, which was that he was a supar, which means that he was a haircutter, right? That he was a actually a haircutter. Although Tosfos says that the word sofer is not used in that way necessarily, but sofer mata. What? Yeah, but the embarrassment—that's what the Tosfos wrote down over there. The embarrassment you can never take away. True, the hair grows back, but you know when a child gets a haircut and they can't go back to school, the embarrassment is something that you can never retract. Right? So that's a. Any loss that cannot be right repaired or ever gotten back, that you're out. You make a mistake, if you're not careful, you're out. So Amar Rav Huna. So now we're back to our Mishnah about when you can object and when you cannot object. So as Amar says, Amar Rav Huna, Hai bar mevo'ah du'uki rechaya. Right, so a person has set up a mill inside of his mavoi. Then another person comes along, then he wants to set up a new mill right next to him. He has the right to object. And this is, as we know, the Jew are ruining my parnasa. You coming here and standing in and you're ruining my parnasa. So blame him, Messiah. So let's say we have a proof to this. We insist that fishermen move away from a fish. The amount of space that the fish normally swim. How much is that? That's the distance of a parsa. So where it says, see from this, what? That when fishermen go out there, that if there's already a fisherman there and he's established that this is his territory, when you go lay your nets, you've got to lay them further away. You can't come and catch or fish in the exact same area what the other individual is fishing. Why? So that's what Gemara says. Seems to be the same principle that Rav Huna is establishing over here, which is that you can't open up a competitive, right, craft or do something competitive that was going to diminish from the livelihood of your friend. Where it says, no, shiny dagim to have a sayra. That fish are different. Why? Because fish can be baited. And since fish can be baited, when the fisherman shows up here, right, and he sets the bait, and he sets the trap, and he's found the hole, that's what the Rashi says, he found the hole where the fish live, so when he sets up the bait, the fish already go into that bait. They're going to go. It's as if he's already taken the fish. It's as if it's his fish already, because he knows where it lives, he sets the bait, it's as if it's his fish. If it's his fish already, it's almost like Gzela Derabanan, because he's almost established some sort of ownership over the fish, and it's like you're taking the fish out of his hands. So but there we'll say it's different. But over here, maybe with Rechaya, we could agree that what that's not taking it out of his hand, because you have customers. And each party can be, right, open up and say, listen, the customers will come to whoever they want to come. I'm not taking them out of your hand. They can come to either party. I'm not changing that. All right, so now, just important Tosfos over here that distinguishes in what we have, which is Ani Mehapech Becharara, the Nana'i who's looking at something right? We had that in the Gemara. But a metzi, you're not allowed to go and take it. That's considered gzela. If an ani is already beginning to, even though he has made a formal kinyan on it, if he's going to get something, then you're not allowed to jump in and preempt them and take it away. So Tosos, the Rabbeinu Tam, we saw this Gemara, but metzi, the Rabbeinu Tam says it there as well. That's only true when you can find something similar. That's only true if you don't buy this, you could buy this somewhere else. So there, if you go in and grab it away from him, then you call the Rasha. On the other hand, if there's a singular or unique item, for instance, a house. Two people want a house, and one person's already, you know, coming under contract on the house, and you jump in, you say, I want the house, I want to buy it, I can buy it, and you break up the whole negotiation, you go in. The Rabbeinu Tam believes it's not even called the Rasha in that place. Why? Because this house is unique. It has certain unique properties. You can't find another house just like it. If you can find another house, then it's a problem. But if you can't find anything to replace it, then that's not a problem. Over there, we don't claim that you have to move away. So that's a very important, right, distinction that Rabbeinu Tam makes, that you're allowed to compete with others to buy something or to do something when there's no other such thing. But when there are others, like for instance fish here, there are tons of fish in the sea, why do you have to be sitting on top of this guy who is fishing in this area? So over there we say, move away, right, don't fish right on top of him. Right, but places where that there's the only thing, maybe there's hefker or there's metziah, where you can't replace it, that there's only one metziah, then we don't have a din of ani mapech b'chara. Let us say that Rav Huna holds like Rav Yehuda. It's not. Rav Yehuda, Mer lo yechalek chanvani klayot vegozin letinokot. Again, a mission that we saw in Bava Metzia, that you're not allowed to give out to the kids, right, nuts, and roasted nuts, and hazelnuts, right, letinokot. It's low, because they cause them, and their fathers, as Rashi says, their fathers send them to the store, they're going to pick this store, because they know they're going to get prizes at this store, they're going to get something to eat. Chamim matirim. Chamim say no problem. Why? Because what's the svara of the chachamim? That if he gives out nuts, you give out something else. So Mar says, Afilu tein rabbanan. Even the rabbanan can fit into Rav Huna. Ad kan lo pligi rabbanan alei de Rav Yehuda hatam el darmale. Because they can say, based on the principle, ana kamifkinam gozi, I'm giving out hazelnuts. I plug shiviski. You give out other types of nuts. I mean that this is fair competition. Fair competition is if you can replicate or do what I want, this is marketing tactics. I'm not taking away anything from you. Of al hocha, because we both exist. Our stores are both here. All I'm doing is marketing. You want to market, you can market too. Of al hocha, afilu rabbanan modeh. But over here, this isn't marketing. This is actually coming up and opening up a new storefront right next to this friend. You're ruining my livelihood. I mean, it's one thing if they both exist already and there's enough livelihood for both of them. Now they're competing between them for the customers. But over here, there's one store and all of a sudden you're going to come in and you're going to diminish, right, that store. So Meitve. Oseh adam chanut b'tzad chanuto shel chavero, u'merchatz b'tzad merchatzo shel chavero, ve'eino yechol limchot b'yado. A person can open up a store immediately next to his friend. A person can open up a bathhouse right next to his vent, and he can't stop him. Mishnah yechol lomar lo, atah oseh b'toch shelcha, v'ani oseh b'toch sheli. That's my place, that's your place. Don't get involved. You don't have any right to object to what I'm doing in my home, or my property, or my rental. I can do what I want there. You want to do something? I'll do something as well. There's no such thing as what we call hasagas gvul. Mean that each of us opens up. It's competition. Competition is good. So when I says tanahi, this happens to be a machlokas tanaim, whether the competition is good or bad. And that is why. Tanya. Kofin b'nei mevaot ze et ze shelo loshi b'nehem lo chayat lo burski v'lo melameid tinukot. Right, so when it comes to the bnei mivot, person who is in a mavoi, who is already doing this, already has this craft, which is right that he's a tailor or he's a tanner or he's a melamed tinokot, and then someone comes in and wants to open up a competing right operation inside of the mavoi, but he's an outsider. Right, he's an outsider that's coming in. You can prevent him from coming in. You're able to object from him to come in and do that competition. But if it's his neighbor, meaning that if he lives in the Mavoi, you can't stop him. If you live in the Mavoi, you have a right to open up such a storefront just like your friend does. When you're outside, if someone from the outside of the Mavoi, you can object. You say, this is my Mavoi, don't come in here and open up competition inside of my Mavoi. He's even allowed to stop his direct neighbor. Someone who lives in the Mavoi, you can stop him. So here you have a machlokas tanaim. Is there such thing as hasagas gavul or not? According to the Tanakama, hasagas gavul does not apply when you both have rights to open up in this area. When you don't have rights, fine, you can object. But when you have rights, the competition is good. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says no. That even when it comes to neighbors, if you are the one with the first store there, the neighbor can't open up the store to compete with you. So Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Shua Pshitali. It's clear to me, Rav Huna Breid Rav Shua says, it's clear to me. A person in this city can stop a person from another city coming up and opening up a competing store or craft in this city. If they pay tax to the same municipality, then they're considered one city, and he can't object because now they both live in the same city. It's clear that a bar mavoi inside of his own mavoi cannot object to another ben mavoi who is in there. Right, so that is like whom? That is like the chachamim, right? The chachamim, the Tanakhama before, said you can't object when you belong in that mavoi. So now, by Ravuna Bre Yeshua, I don't know what to do. Bar Mevoah, a Bar Mevoah Achrina. According to the Chachamim, what happens if a Bar Mavoi comes into this Mavoi? All the Chachamim said was that if he lives there, then he can not object. If he's coming right from somewhere outside, right, then he is allowed to object. How outside does he have to be in order to be objected? I mean, that he can object over here. So that's what they don't know. I mean, we're clear, if he comes from another city, he can object. The problem is, what happens if he doesn't come from another city, but he's coming from another mavoi? What is about that middle stance there? What's the din? So he says, what's the din there? Teiku. There he doesn't have a good answer to it, because we don't know. He's going to open up in this mavoi. He's from somewhere else, right? We don't know how far the chachamim, he has to be away in order to be objecting. So I'm Rav Yosef. This goes back up to the Rav Huna before. Rav Huna before says that we don't allow you to open up another mill next to the mill that exists already, like the Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Huna is like Rav Shimon Gamliel in this Brisa, and Rav Huna bar Rav Shua is like the Tana Kama in the Brisa. So he says, even Rav Shua says, Rav Shua be makre to Dardake, when it comes to educators, when it comes to Mechanchim, the Lomatsim Akev, you can't stop them. Competition is good. We want competition. When it comes to education, we want competition, and competition is good. So if there is competition, it's good. Then, therefore, we allow for mikrei dadakei. So even though we will not permit competition in other fields, when it comes to education, we will allow such competition. Just point out that over here in this braisa, it says that one is allowed to be ma'akev malamei tinokot. And we said before that you're not allowed to be ma'akev malamei tinokot. So those over here said it must be that these are, quote-unquote, malamei tinokot nachrim ayri. We're talking about a case of educating non-Jewish tinokot, or the other possibility is that he's malamed tinokot Yisrael, right? But here it's Gamliel comes and argues on the Tana Kama before and says, you're allowed to have competition, you're not allowed to have competition, that means everybody except malamed tinokot. That's what Rav Huna is saying in the end. I'm qualifying what Rav Shimon Gamliel said. Okay, we'll stop over here.